Well, we want to go back to objects in the Bible. Pick one of the most common objects, the most common object associated with Christianity. And that time of period in which we're looking at in the life of Christ, His closing days. And that object, of course, would be the cross. It is an object. It's on the cross that Jesus was crucified. It was on the cross that He was crucified at the hands of the Roman soldiers, at the decree of Pilate, and contrived by His enemies, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and agreed to by the majority of the people standing round about the scene of His death, who were shouting, "Crucify Him." The thing I want to preach on regarding the cross is the first thing that Jesus said after He had been crucified and hung on the cross, and most of you know what that is. If not, look at Luke 23, and we'll go to verse 33 and read 34. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified Jesus. On one side one criminal, and on the other side another criminal. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say, because you can very easily misunderstand what I'm saying, and you can very easily get confused as we go into this thing a little bit deeper. So please listen all the way through. Don't stop listening halfway through. Don't lose me, because then you will say I said some things I did not say. All my sermons are taped. And I can go back and you can go back with me and listen, but this is a very important message, and I don't want you to lose me on it and get confused and get some opinions that are not being stated. Please listen very carefully, all right? Because I don't want to be misunderstood. And we'll say some things that I feel like are very important to say. Now, Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is one of the most difficult matters that I think people have to deal with. It's one of the most emotional situations that you can find yourself in. And some people have real problems in the area of forgiveness. To some, you have to meet certain requirements before it's even to be considered. For others, you just give it a blanket pardon no matter what they've done, what they've said. You just give an immediate pardon, just forget about it, and that's the end of it. You don't ask for requirements to be met, you just, "I forgive." For others, they say, "Well, I'll forgive, but I'll not forget." For others, they say, well, they can find excuses, and whatever the excuse might be, it makes them feel like they have a right to dislike the person they dislike anyway, and so forgiveness becomes difficult when you find that kind of situation. For others, forgiveness is what you'd rather receive than what you'd rather give in that connotation. For others, it means you have to cancel out a debt that you really owe. For instance, I'll give one illustration. I go into a store, I knock over a $35 vase, I go to the store owner, "Oh, would you please forgive me?" Forgiveness involves canceling a debt. Sometimes they feel, "Well, if I forgive you, I've lost $35. And so forgiveness is complicated because of many different aspects, and I brought up just a few of them. Now, the flip side of forgiveness, saying, "I forgive you," is the difficulty involved in repenting, apologizing, admitting wrong, and admitting that you're guilty. There is double problems in this matter of forgiveness and apology. And as Jesus hung on the cross, we are faced with this difficult topic. Now, to begin with, Jesus did not say to those round about Him, "I forgive you." He did not say that. You can look at your Bible again. He said, "Father, you forgive them that know not what they do." He did not say, "I forgive them that know not what they do." Jesus did not say they were forgiven. He just asked the Father, forgive them. He did not say what the Father did. He just gave us His desire as to what ought to be done to those people around Him were bringing about His crucifixion. The them there were the immediate people involved in His death. Now there was no hatred, there was no malice, there was no vengeance in the heart of Jesus Christ towards those people, Pilate, the Roman soldiers who put the nails in His hands and feet, against the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees who had put Him there in a real sense because of their false charges. There was no malice in Christ's heart toward these people. But I want you to notice in the mind of Christ as He hung on that cross, the first thought He had was, what is man's greatest need? It's not prosperity. He did not give anybody money from the cross. It's not even healing, for He did not heal anyone from the cross. He could have said, there's one out there sick with blindness. Now, be healed. He healed no one on the cross. It's not pleasure. The number one need of mankind from the standpoint of Jesus Christ is that man be forgiven. Nothing is as important as that. And that's what He was saying to the Father. Father, the number one prayer request that I'm going to leave with you before I pass on is that you bring about the forgiveness of sinners. That's at the top of my priority list. While on earth, I can't think of one person who came to Jesus seeking God's forgiveness. They came seeking healing, deliverance from evil spirits, seeking food that fed the 5,000, seeking entertainment because the crowds gathered around to see what was going on. But as far as I can remember, no one ever came to Jesus seeking God's forgiveness. Now again, I want you to notice the category in which Jesus makes His request. It's those that know not what they do, or what you and I would call sins of ignorance. But in God's eyes, they're still sins. Still sins. Wrong is wrong, whether you and I realize it or not. It's still wrong. And surrounding Jesus at that cross were people who did not think they had done wrong. The Roman soldiers had done no wrong. The scribes and the Pharisees really felt they were doing God a favor in getting rid of Jesus Christ. They didn't think they'd done anything wrong. They were ridding the nation of an imposter, a troublemaker. And so in the eyes of the people around the cross, they didn't think that they had done wrong. Jesus says, wrong is wrong. They were crucifying God's Son. Wrong is wrong whether you think it's wrong or not. And I'd be safe in saying this morning, I believe that our sins of ignorance far outnumber our willful, deliberate rebellion against God. How many thoughts, how many acts, and how many words yesterday did you commit that God would say were sin that you have absolutely no knowledge of? I was almost saying you can't go through a day without committing a sin of ignorance. And if you can just get by with one, you're going to be fortunate. But no matter, God still says of all those acts and words and thoughts and deeds, they were still wrong. In His eyes, they're still sin whether you knew it or not. And so they're called sins of ignorance. I want to relate a story to you, and please follow my story because I'm going to refer to it now in the rest of my sermon. This is where you're going to get confused and lost if you're not careful. I told this story one time before, and I won't tell it again because it illustrates what Jesus meant when He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. All right? I'm not real sure of my age when this happened. I was probably 11 or 12 years old. My folks lived in a house that had a front porch with a swing. When my daddy was home, the swing belonged to him and mama. When they weren't on the porch, the swing belonged to me. And I would sit on it, and they'd come out, I'd get up and get in the chair. This day I was on a porch by myself, and I was swinging, nothing to do. Just summertime, as I recall, and there was a lady walking down the sidewalk, going in front of our house, who had been in the grocery store because she was carrying a shopping bag full of groceries. I really had never met the lady. She had just moved in the neighborhood. She was a younger woman compared to my mother's age. She was a younger woman. And then she lived down the street, about four houses down across the street. There was one apartment house in our whole neighborhood. She lived in that apartment house, and it was made up of several apartments. I'm not sure how many. I never went in it but once. And she came walking down the sidewalk. For some unknown reason, this was not true to my character, but for some unknown reason, I said to this woman out loud this statement: "Look who's coming down the street, snotty nose and dirty feet." Well, I thought that was real cute. And I laughed, and I thought I was Mr. Big. There was no reason to say that. She looked at me and just kept on going. But unknown to me, my daddy was standing at the screen door looking out towards the street. He came out on the front porch. You can pretty well realize what he said to me. He didn't see it as I saw it. I saw it to be funny. He didn't see it that way. He saw it to be sin. Now, I hadn't sinned. What had I done? Well, to me, he said, "You have broken the code of honor for children to honor parents. You've broken that in adults." Wrong. So he got all over me what I said. I said, "Okay, Daddy, I'm sorry. I won't say it again." That wasn't enough for my daddy. I thought, well, that'll end it, won't it? No. He said, "Son, I want you to go down where she lives. And I want you to knock on the door. Then I want you to tell her you're sorry. And I want you to ask her to forgive you." "Well, Daddy, I don't know where she lives." He said, "Well, you can find out. So you just go." So we're in our apartment house then, and that's not a very safe place to go, you know. That's not the best kind of people living in the apartment house. He said, "You go knock on every door, and you can find the one in which she lives. You go." And I said, "Okay, after a while." He said, "No, you go now." "But, Daddy." "No, you go now." That was the slowest walk ever made, you know. They talk about the wedding march is slow. You ought to see me, man. I slowly walked down to that house. And it was on my mind so much, it wasn't so much as that I was guilty. I was scared to death. What was that lady going to do to me? I mean, would she hit me over the head with a broom? Would she holler and scream at me and embarrass me? What would she do to me? And that's what was on my mind, not so much that I had sinned. I hadn't done any more than the other kids had done. I got caught. All right? Well, I went down there, and if you try hard enough, you can find the right door. So I found the door, and I stood there, and that door seemed 25 feet tall. You know, man, I was scared to death. I knocked on the door. She came to the door, and I told her who I was, like she wouldn't know who I was. Like it was news to her, you know. And I told her why I was down there, that my daddy sent me down there, and that he said I had done her wrong, and that I apologized. Now, I'd never talked to this woman before, and didn't know her. My parents had never met her. She said, "Okay, I forgive you." And I went back home, and I told my daddy that I'd done what he said. "And I want to ask you a question, people. Please follow me. Did God forgive me because she forgave me? Did God accept her forgiveness as his forgiveness?" It's a good question, though. I'm going to leave it with you for just a minute. All right? Does man's mercy, now she had mercy on me. She didn't have to. But does man's mercy guarantee that God will also show the same mercy to you in that situation? For if she forgave me, does that mean that God will show me the same kind of mercy? Now, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Now, I'm going to put you in the place of that woman. All right, but you'll just kind of play a role this morning. I'm going to put you in that apartment house. Now, you're the woman now. All right? And I'm going to come knocking on your door. And what I'm going to say to you now is not make-believe. It's a boy who's not 11 anymore. It's a boy who's grown up to be 54. All right? And what I'm saying now is not, let's just pretend. The pretense is you're the woman behind the door, but the situation is now the same. All right? I want to first come to my wife, she's behind the door too. And then to my children, they're behind the door too. And then there's you. You're behind the door too. So I've got everybody in this room on the other side of the door. I'm knocking. What I'm going to say to you is true. And it's sincere. And I mean it. All right? Would you please follow me now, because I want to ask some more questions in a minute. I want to say this real clearly, and I'm not making a story. I'm meaning what I'm saying. Whatever I have said, or whatever I have done, or whatever I have not said, or whatever I have not done from my wife, my children, and you, that has broken your heart, that has hurt you, I'm sorry. Now I mean it. Will you forgive me? Now if you say yes, I'll get my composure back, people, I'm preaching. If you say yes, then it will forgive you. Has God forgiven me? Just because you said yes? That's the question I raised a while ago. I'm raising it again now. Has God forgiven me because of what I just said? And I didn't mean it. I really did. But that settled it. Is it all gone? Is God said, I take care of it. Is that the way it works? Now, when I was a boy 11, I did not come back home and get on my knees and confess my sin to God. I wasn't even a Christian. I was a good boy, but I was not a born-again believer. God did not end that picture that day. I did what my father told me to do, but I didn't confess any sin to God. I was rude, but I didn't think I had sinned. And I didn't care much about sin because I wasn't a Christian. I was a good person. To me, it was just a human situation in which I found myself, and I reacted like any human being, and that settled it. And you don't have to be a Christian to apologize. You don't have to be a Christian to say, I forgive you. I mean, you can leave God out of the picture altogether. Now, I made my apology to you, and I mean it. I'm sorry. And I really think everybody in this church this morning could make the same confession. If I've said anything and done anything, knowingly or unknowingly, deliberately or not, I'm sorry. I've hurt you. We can all say that to everybody. We're all guilty. But if you said it, would that make it where God says, I said it, you're forgiven? That would strictly be a human activity, a transaction that is done sometimes without God even being thought of. Now, would it have been easy for me to get forgiveness from God when I was 12 years old? He said, well, sure, just confess your sin to God and say you're sorry. And God will forgive you. Is it that easy? No. No. It's not that easy. If that's all it takes, folks, then why didn't Adam and Eve just say, hey, God, we ate the forbidden fruit. We're guilty. We're sorry. We broke your heart. I mean, just forgive us, God. And God said, no way. I can't and I won't. Please follow me, people. Don't lose me now. God said to Adam and Eve, I can't forgive you and I won't. But we asked you to. No, I will not. Will you follow me so far? When Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He was asking his Father to do the impossible. From a human viewpoint, no, I will never forgive man. From the human viewpoint and standpoint of forgiveness and apology, God said, no, never, I cannot and I will not forgive man of his sin against me. No. From the human viewpoint, people, you and I can handle sin and forgiveness and repentance real easy. Not God. Not God. Do you know, folks, it's the hardest thing in the world for God to do is to forgive a sinner? Did you know that? It's an impossibility. From the human viewpoint, God's demand for justice makes his mercy and forgiveness with no strings attached absolutely impossible. He can't overlook sin. He can't dismiss the penalty. He cannot forget and he cannot forgive you because of justice. You want them sorry. What if I confess? It's not enough. It's not enough. Adam and Eve could have done that. It wasn't enough. Look at Hebrews 9:22. How much time have I got? Hebrews 9:22. Please stay with me. The last part of 9:22. This is only in regards to God's situation as He deals with our sin and the question of our forgiveness. Notice, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. That lady didn't ask my blood be shed that day for me to be forgiven. I don't think any of you this day, even if we were not Christians in a church house and I made my apologies like I did a while ago, you wouldn't require blood to get forgiveness. But God says, listen, from my viewpoint, without the shedding of blood, you can never be forgiven. I will not forgive you out of sympathy. Only if blood is shed. Only if the justice that I demand is paid for. Go back to this illustration. If I knock over a vase and it falls to the floor and the vase costs $1 million, I'll say, I'm sorry. And the guy says, no. No. You'll pay me $1 million. You'll pay me $1 million. I say, I can't. Well, buddy, you will not be forgiven. I can't pay it. You will pay it. Or I'll put you in prison for the rest of your life. Hey, I said, I'm sorry. No, you'll pay. And God said to Adam and Eve, you sin, you die. And God says, somebody's going to have to pay that debt before I'll forgive. You say, I can't. Well, then I won't forgive you then. You say, but God. God says, no, absolutely no. Now, folks, on that cross, Jesus said, Father, yes. Now, Father, you can say yes to those sinners who repent and apologize and ask for forgiveness. Now, Father, you can say yes because I'm paying the debt. I'm paying it. And Father, my request is, out of all of this, that that's what I want you to do. You don't owe them a dime. You don't owe them forgiveness. You owe no mercy. But Father, it's my wish that you forgive them. And that's why I'm hanging here. That you'll have a chance now to forgive them. And when they say they're sorry, you can say, I accept it. And I forgive you. Because I'm the one, Father, that's paying the debt. And I'm the one that wants you to forgive them. And I know you want to forgive them. And now you can. I mean, the way has been made clear now for you to say that they can be forgiven. I don't believe Jesus is saying everybody has automatic forgiveness. He's just saying, Father, now you can tell the people who come to you, I forgive you. You're pardoned. I've made it possible for these people. And I want you to go out now and try to find people that you can tell them that you forgive them. And that's why I'm dying for them. Now, people, that's what he was saying there on that cross. He was saying, Father, it's yes now. It's yes. And the Father says, all right, I'll forgive him. And Jesus said, not just once, Father, not just once, time and time and time again. You keep saying to them, I forgive you. They keep confessing, and they keep repenting, and you keep telling them, I'll forgive you. And every time you and I people repent, I want you to realize that God says you're forgiven, not because of mercy, but because of Jesus, making it possible that He can show you mercy. Father, forgive them. It's hard for God to be forgiving. So hard that He had to let His Son die to make it possible. And that's what the cross is so much about. You and I can now just come to God and say, God, forgive me. And have no question He'll do it. But He wouldn't have done it had it not been for Jesus on that cross and prayed, Father, give them that forgiveness that I want them to have and you want them to have. It's possible. And I think that's what He meant by Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. They don't know their sins. Most of us don't, people. We do wrong. We don't even know it. We hurt people left and right and don't even tend to. And we do the same thing to God. And then we come and say, God, forgive me. He will. But he only will because Jesus asked him to and paid the price which made it possible for him to answer the question. I hope I have made it clear this morning what I said. Forgiveness is a tremendous thing. It was bought with a tremendous price. And it still is. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can follow in your example and that we too can seek forgiveness. We can give forgiveness. We can make it a priority. We're thankful this day that we can come to our Heavenly Father night or day, 24 hours a day, any time, and there not be told, no, I won't forgive you, but be told anxiously, yes, I'll forgive you. And even if we've done it 1,000 times. We're thankful this morning that that forgiveness was made available to us, not easily, but so dearly upon the cross. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.